Well, I want to thank all of you for being here today. I would like to thank the faculty, the staff, and all employees for your patience while we deliberated on the various budgetary concerns before us at the university. We hope that through today's presentation, you will have greater insight with regard to the decisions we have made to address the financial situation for the FY15 academic year. I would like to update you on several items that impacted our budget situation since the last time we met. First, I would like to provide my sincere gratitude to the University Professionals of Illinois for their continued leadership during these challenging times in higher education. And let's give them a round of applause. I also want to thank the President's leadership team and their work with this negotiation. Let's give them a round of applause as well. Meetings that occurred throughout the fall semester resulted in a new 3-year contract with UPI. The results of this contract will provide much needed financial relief over the next 3 years. Let me express my appreciation to the faculty, the staff, and all who were involved in ratifying this new agreement. So we certainly do appreciate it. Second, pension reform has passed and was signed into law in December 2013. This reform has serious implications for our employees. We will continue to monitor the progress of the law as it is tested in the court system. While we do not know what will happen in the future, for now, the law does not include a cost shift to the universities. This, too, is positive news for Western and other universities. Enrollment continues to be a cause for concern. Our overall fall enrollment was 4.1% down from the previous year. However, our fall to spring retention rate has recovered to a more normal level. We project that it will be nearly 90%. This is up from 82% from the previous year. This is a terrific turnaround and reflects that our retention programs are having an impact. We expect that this will also improve our overall fall retention rate. In other positive news, I'm pleased to report the percentage of new first-time freshmen in good academic standing or semester honors after their first semester has gone up from 70% last year to 78% this past fall. Additionally, we have seen a significant drop in students being referred to our judicial board. Finally, the yield rate for our veteran students has increased from 50 to 70%. These are all signs that Western is making the necessary adjustments to increase both numbers and academic quality. Today, our budget director, Matt Bierman, will provide an update on projection models using some of the factors that have changed during the last 6 months. We, as a leadership team, continue to look into the future to ensure that Western is making wise financial decisions. Information is gathered from many sources. Benchmarked to other institutions and best practices are employed, all of which guide our decision making. We continue to be in the midst of a financial crisis in higher education. From declining state resources to declining high school students, we must continue to remain focused on our priorities. While our financial situation does look better than it did in previous campus meetings, major challenges continue to exist. Let me remind you of a few key factors that have had an impact on our current financial situation. We continue to live with more than a decade of state reductions and unfunded mandates. Our state appropriation was reduced 13%, which was $7.8 million in the last 4 years. During this same time period, our overall expenses have increased by 8%. Our tuition rate has increased 61% in 8 years, 18% over 4 years. High school enrollments have declined, and there is increasing pressure on our efforts to recruit new students. And finally, the state continues to lag behind in its payments to WIU. As of today, the state owes us $29.2 million, $5.9 million in MAP funding. At this time, I want to pause and I want to invite Matt Bierman to come forward to share some information regarding the budget. Matt Bierman.
Thank you, Dr. Thomas. Yeah, I'm ready for the slides. So what I'm going to do is kind of give you an update. If you've been to a couple of my presentations in the last 6 or 8 months, you'll see that these are very similar to what we've talked about in the past. So the first couple slides, I've only got about 10 slides. I just want to give the campus some refresher about what we're talking about and the impacts that we have on our budget and how they're going to affect things as we go forward. As we've talked about in the past, there's three sources of funds for the institution appropriated, which is primarily what we're going to be talking about today. We do also have the auxiliaries and then all of our local and other funds. While we're talking about appropriate today and the cuts that are affecting appropriated, I will say that I work very closely with our auxiliaries as well as the local funds, and everybody is feeling the pinch. The auxiliaries are going through their own budget reduction exercises, and many local funds are looking at their fund balances as well. So this is not isolated just to the appropriated funds. This is a breakdown of how the appropriated funds are divided up by vice presidential area. So when you see later that Dr. Hawkinson's cut seems to be much larger than everyone else's, it's because that the majority of the expenses come from his area, because that's where the instruction takes place. So that's just to give you an idea of why his number is going to be a lot larger than everybody else's. As Dr. Thomas mentioned, our state appropriation has continued to be in decline. Although we did see a slight uptick, that was for the $600,000 we received for the Quad City Manufacturing Lab in 14. For the most part, it's just been a downhill slide for the last several years. At this point, you'll see in my projection models, we're budgeting level for state appropriations for FY15. We cross our fingers that that's the case. Dr. Thomas also mentioned undergraduate tuition has increased 69% over 9 years. This is taking a toll on our students and their financial ability to pay for college. So we pay very close attention and look at sort of an elasticity model as what can they afford and what can they come here with. Knowing that, we've employed several different strategies, which I think will be mentioned later, as it relates to our financial aid models and how we're packaging financial aid to our students to encourage them to come. So we have to be cautious about raising tuition beyond the means of our students. We've also talked a little bit about enrollment trends. This has the most recent fall enrollment, fall 2013. And as you can see, continuing a downslide. Although I will say, and I want to reiterate what Dr. Thomas said, those retention numbers have a huge impact to this campus. If you recall in previous presentations, I've talked about that 100 students can have $1 million impact on this campus, and those retention numbers will have an impact on us going forward. So we need to continue to do what we can to work with the students so they're retained. Once they get here, we got to keep them. We've also talked about cash flow. The state owes us $29.2 million. They paid us yesterday $4.5 million, so that's why that number is down from what else was reported this week, which was in the 30s. So we're grateful that the state has continued to pay on their schedule. However, we continue to monitor our cash flow. As you can see on here, the 1 month and 2 month kind of levels of expenditures, we've fallen below that a couple times in the last few years, and we don't want to do that again. But the trend is getting better. Our cash continues to get better as the state follows the schedule that they've laid out. So that's, again, positive news. So this is where this is what the previously the numbers I gave you were the budget numbers, $127.6 million for appropriated. This is where I think sort of an early projection for our appropriated budget, income over expense, will end up. It's going to be a positive year. Right now I'm projecting about $1 million positive. as they do with the political polls, I would do a plus or minus half a million, maybe. It's a little early to tell. I haven't seen all of tuition yet for January, which is a big indicator, and I want to see the post-January expense numbers, because that'll have an impact. People do another gear up in January with expense purchases for the new semester. So once I see that, I'll have a much better idea of where I think we're going to end up at the end of the fiscal year. And what this will also guide some of our decision making for releasing money if we can at the end of the fiscal year, or hopefully earlier than we released some of that last year. So I've got two more slides just to show you a projection. I've given you some projections in the past, so we want to look at a three-year kind of model. These are the assumptions: level state appropriation, no pension cost shift. I am projecting a 1.5% decline in overall enrollment for FY15. I know the admissions doing everything they can to recruit. We need to do everything we can to retain, but I think even with that, our smaller classes that are our juniors and our sophomores have to flow through the system. So I still anticipate a decline in enrollment for FY15 overall. After that, I'm budgeting level enrollment from that point. I anticipate 2-3% increases in tuition. Those have not yet been finalized, but that's sort of our window that we're at least using as a conservative budget model. The past several years, we've been at 4.5 and up to 6. This year, we're going to be, it looks like we'll probably be under 3. So we're going to use 2-3 in this model. Those are what we have for our new obligated salary increases for the majority of our employees. This assumes no increase in operating funds. Everything that's been cut to this point remains cut. So we are not to the point where we can grow and start releasing new money back to departments yet. But we are going to hopefully be able to maintain where we're at. And it also assumes a $2 million budget cut, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But what's that look like? What does it play out? This may not look good, but this actually looks, from my perspective, this looks much better. The contract that we signed with UPI has had about a $2 million impact, a swing on this budget, and that's a significant change for us. And many other things have impacted this. The cuts last year and the cuts this year are playing a big role in how it is. So this year we've got about $1 million, $1.3 million, and then I think we'll be about level in 15, is the best information I have. We'll also be about level in 17. We may take a little bit out of reserve or have a little bit of negative deficit budgeting in FY16. Again, these are really early based upon some broad assumptions. They're conservative assumptions, but we have to do this. The fact that these lines are as close together as they are, where before the purple was way up in here, is a good sign for the institution that we are moving in the right direction. And if the state can recover and continue to maintain their appropriations, our enrollment stays solid, we're going to be just fine. That's all I have.
Thank you, Matt. Knowing what Matt has presented and where we have been as an institution, now let us look at fiscal year 2015. We expect that the salary increases for FY15 to total about $3 million. Had we not negotiated a new contract with UPI, this number would have been over $5.1 million. We also expect our expense increases to total over $1.8 million for the year. At this time, it is unknown what the legislature will recommend as our appropriation. We will continue to lobby individually as a university and collectively with the other public universities for continued funding for higher education. Our projections for next year are based on a level appropriation, as Matt has already stated. Student enrollment and retention must be a top priority for this university. We rely on everyone's efforts in this area. We continue to employ many new recruitment strategies in order to attract quality students, both domestic and international. We will do what we can do to leverage financial aid in order to help students with financial need who can be academically successful. Through the use of Amtrak, we have a new strategy to get students to visit Macomb. We are targeting those programs that have capacity and low yields. We must not stand by and watch. Rather, We must all take an active role in this recruitment and retention process. I am aware that all departments are developing recruitment and retention plans. And let me thank you in advance, departments, and what you're doing with those recruitment plans. We certainly do appreciate it. However, FY15 will bring more financial challenges, as we'll mention today. We still must make reductions in order to protect the future of Western Illinois University. Though we must do all we can do to grow out of this budget crisis through higher enrollment and retention reductions, reductions are still necessary. I realize that budget reductions have become somewhat routine for Western and other institutions. I also recognize that the impact of the reductions get worse each year. This year will be no different as we eliminate more positions through attrition and by not filling open positions. That's through attrition and by not filling open positions. In every case, the leadership team considers the impact to both the institution and the employees. I've asked the vice presidents to cut about $2 million of the budget for FY15 in order to ensure that we're being financially responsible and we continue to meet our payroll and other financial obligations. I've asked each of them to prepare remarks as to how they will handle the reductions in their area. And looking at the president's area, I will be cutting $26,000. I have the smallest amount of funding than any of the vice presidents here on campus, so it's $26,000. To find this savings, we will not fill a recently vacated position in the president's office. And if necessary, we will supplement with student employment. At this time, I will ask each vice president to come forward and to present his or her reductions. And we'll start with the provost.